B-Pod Studios.
Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
So today's theme, Double Shot B-File. Each and every story has a counterpart story to it, something similar in it that links it to the other story.
And we'll guess.
It just happened bizarrely that right. over the weekend there were a lot of similar things that took place.
All right.
You want to guess?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're pretty obvious. There's nothing right, hidden
then
here.
Forget
so.
It. Just tell us.
All right. Here, we'll start with this. Three people were killed and two others were injured when a cliff collapsed feet away from a lifeguard tower at a beach in Lasuda, Leascadia, California. I'm not sure where the name of that is.
I saw this. It just sheared off.
Yeah. Deputies were called to Neptune Avenue to help victims trapped in the collapse. The area is north of Grandview Surf Beach in North San Diego County. Grandview Beach is an access point to the state beach, and it's a popular spot among local surfers. The beach was filled with people at the time of the cliff collapse. Footage of beach chairs, towels, surfboards, and beach toys strewn about the sand near the fallen cliff. First responders, including lifeguards, rushed to dig the victims out of the rubble and debris. Officials said one woman died at the scene while four other victims were injured by the toppling terrain. Two of those people sent to local hospitals later succumbed to their injuries. It was horrible.
They always tell, actually, in those certain areas, and I remember years ago, it was in third grade when we lived out there, we go to the beach fairly often, and they would tell people not to get too close to those cliff sides.
Yeah, because stuff falls yes. down from there, and these collapsed. Officials said the cliff was unstable. They cordoned off the area in order to keep people out of harm's way. For safety reasons, city officials have closed the beach and they recommended the beachgoers continue to exercise caution while visiting the beach areas.
That's horrible.
All right, how about this? The bodies of three boaters from Europe who died in an Alaska lake were surrounded by frozen debris, a sign that victims were killed by ice that fell from the melting glacier that feeds the lake.
Oh.
The victims were identified by the city as two Germans and an Austrian and were found dead on Tuesday morning at Valdez Glacier Lake, which is about 120 miles east of Anchorage. The victims were found in an area that was littered with floating icebergs, glacial slush, and challenging terrain for recovery. Those conditions, plus the location of the remains near the toe of Valdez Glacier, suggest that falling glacial ice killed the boaters. One of the victims had severe head trauma. The case is being reviewed by the state medical examiner's office to determine the cause of death. There were no eyewitnesses to the incident. So those are two stories that are similar.
I've seen calving ice before when we were in Alaska on a trip. Holy crap. I don't care where you are. We're on a ship. It still scares the crap out of you.
Here's two stories that feature sports stars.
Sports stars!
Georgia Southern QB Shia Wirtz has been suspended by the team indefinitely following his arrest after a traffic stop on Wednesday night. Wirtz, the team's starting quarterback, was allegedly going to be pulled over for speeding by police, and after reportedly calling police to say that he wanted to keep going and pull over in a more well-lit area, he did pull over, and that's where police allegedly found a substance on the hood of his car that Wirtz said was bird poop.
Yeah.
Per police, the substance tested positive for cocaine.
You mean to tell me that birds poop cocaine?
Apparently that's the case.
That's incredible. No, that's how they can fly. They're so amped up.
Wirtz has been charged with a misdemeanor for cocaine possession. His suspension was announced Friday morning. Now, Torbjorn Olesen, professional golfer. I mean, he's a touring golf pro, was arrested on suspicion of sexual assault after allegedly going in a tirade before molesting a woman on a British Airways flight. Ryder Cup hero Ian Poulter actually stepped in to calm him down after he had hurled abuse at passengers and crew. But Olesen is alleged to have then molested the woman while Poulter slept. And then he's also accused of urinating in the first class aisle.
What a champ.
Cops were waiting to meet him at the flight from Nashville where it landed in Heathrow on Monday. A witness said Olesen, he said he started abusing some of the passengers and crew and then made a pass at one of the female passengers before taking a leak in the aisle. It was shocking.
I'll just
behavior.
Piss right here.
You would expect it maybe on a budget airline, but not first class cabin on British Airways. Olesen and Poulter were playing at the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational at Memphis last weekend. Olesen, who lives in London, finished a disappointing 27th and tweeted, "Now for some time off and practice to get things right."
Now for some first-class pissing.
So there's two sports star stories.
Run amok.
Now we have No, that one's out of place. How about this? Now we have two Amazon stories.
Like large women or the Amazon?
No, Amazon.
The shopping.
Yes.
All right.
Exactly. A 22-year-old has been arrested in an alleged scam of the largest internet retailer that totaled nearly $370,000. He did it by sending return packages filled with dirt.
Just dirt.
James Gilbert Quartanig of Spain allegedly swindled Amazon by filling up the ordered items boxes with dirt and registering with the exact weight of the product. He would then receive a refund from Amazon and sell the original item. The return packages would end up sitting around in Amazon's warehouses where they aren't checked that often. The scam wasn't discovered until a random search where someone opened a box and discovered it was full of dirt.
That's interesting because they are fairly liberal with their return policy. It's actually why I like them. They're good. They'll just take it right back. But you're saying that they don't check it immediately. They put it in for a while. Yeah.
Amazon's return policy states items shipped from the website, including Amazon Warehouse, can be returned within 30 days of receipt. Refunds are processed in two business days, and customers can expect their funds show in their account in 3 to 5 business days. The success of the alleged scam by Quarting, who has been released on bail, enabled him to create his own company, by the way.
It's going to cause a problem for me because I buy all my dirt through Amazon.
Here's another one. A theft ring in Washington State sold millions of dollars worth of stolen goods on Amazon.com in the past 6 years, and a pair of contract Amazon delivery drivers was involved. Two storefront businesses posing as pawn shops bought the goods from shoplifters, then had the items shipped to Amazon warehouses where they were stored until sold online. Entities associated with the alleged ringleader did at least $10 million in sales on Amazon since 2013.
$10 million.
That's correct.
Unfreaking real.
No charge.
How do we get in on this?
No charges have yet been filed, though investigators have raided the pawn shops and the home of the man identified as the ringleader, Alexander Pavlovsky. Among those who provided stolen items to the pawn shops were two contract Amazon drivers. Their job was to travel to Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, pick up items being returned to the company, and then bring them to an Amazon warehouse south of Seattle and to deliver items to post offices for shipping. Instead, they routinely stole the goods and sold them to the pawn shops. The investigation began last summer when a police detective in Auburn was pursuing a record of pawn shop sales and noticed that one man had made 57 transactions. It turned out he was one of the drivers. He had received nearly $30,000 selling items to the pawn shops between February and July last year.
Why do I have a feeling that if Goodfellas were to occur today, it would involve Amazon somehow?
Police initially arrested the driver but released him from jail to avoid disrupting the larger investigation. And there you go. That's what happened to B-File. The double shots are not done yet. I still have a few more.
I like them.
Of interesting stories that kind of tie together in their subject matter.
Speaking of Amazon, have you noticed the recent thing they've started doing where when they drop packages off, if they're not sure about, you know, the situation or whether you're home or not, they actually take a photograph of the parcel at your door or whatever door they dropped it off and they text it to you?
No.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a little extra added security.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File podcast.
The Tennessee woman said she is forever grateful for her pit bull after the dog intervened before a venomous snake could bite her outside her home. Haley McCormack said it was dark when she got home from work, didn't see the copperhead that was lurking in a leafy corner by the stairs leading to her door.
Hey, copperhead.
She said it was coiled back, so it was going to strike. And that's when McCormack's pit bull, Arlo, sprung into action. She said he got there before I could go any further. And he grabbed it by the tail and just started shaking it. She said, while he was shaking it, it bit his face. It got him 3 times for sure, possibly 4. Arlo killed the snake, but he was seriously hurt and was rushed to a local pet hospital for treatment. She said his neck was super swollen. It made his eye almost completely swollen shut. Copperhead venom is rarely deadly to humans, but it can be fatal to small animals.
Bites, expect a crap load of treats.
Bites can be more dangerous if the venom reaches their facial area. Arlo was given anti-venom pain medication and CBD oil, and he is expected to recover. Now, another snake story. Toronto's sewer snake became the talk of the town on Tuesday.
I'm a snake, eh?
The massive python was found slithering up from a sewer grate at a gas station in Toronto. However, things have taken another weird twist as the family who claimed that the sewer grate snake was their missing pet have come to realize the snake is, in fact, an imposter and not their beloved pet snake after all.
What kind of devious snake tries to pass themselves off as another family snake?
At first, the family was thrilled when they heard that a large python was found.
Arlo!
And the discovery of the creature just 3 kilometers from their home led the family to believe that the snake must be their missing pet, an 11-month-old ball python named Monty, who had vanished from their home in June. Now, upon hearing the news of the snake discovery, the family rushed to their local animal services to retrieve their pet who had gone missing their home.
What did it say on the snake collar?
Relieved and excited to have found Monty, the family took their snake home without so much as a second thought. However, that same night, Monty started showing signs of unusual behavior. Samantha Sinella, whose 18-year-old son purchased the snake, noticed the snake lifting up hollow logs in its aquarium, something Monty had never done before. Upon closer examination of some older photos of Monty and his unique patterns, the family realized this snake was not actually Monty after all.
Come here. I don't think that's Monty.
So the family named the imposter snake Sneaky Pete and are now in the process of trying to find his real owners as well as locate their own still missing python. Now, after seeing a post on Facebook from a man searching for his missing python, Sinella was feeling hopeful. However, Sneaky Pete was also not that man's lost python.
So there's a whole plethora of missing snakes
all over Toronto.
Now, do they put a description in the paper? Long and beady eyes?
Their quest to locate the city's missing snakes and owners led Sinella to wonder how many pythons are loose in the sewers of Toronto. While they wait to find his real owner, the family are caring for Sneaky Pete, who seems extremely happy in his new home.
Aww, running around and playing.
Yep. All right, let me see. Next, we will have... How about stupid people doing stupid things?
I love this.
That's their connection, okay? A man has been arrested for assaulting a Little Caesars manager all because he was unhappy with his pizza. The attack was caught on camera. Irate customers...
That's against store policy, right?
The irate customer first called to complain about his pizza, but even after he was told that he could get a refund or a new pizza, he showed up at that Little Caesars more upset.
I want blood.
The manager, Kelsey Beckwith, said, "I've been doing this for 12 years and not a day in my life. I've never had a customer lash out at me that bad, especially over a $5 pizza."
$5.
Police say Joseph Thorpe is the man who got so mad that his pizza had Italian seasoning on it instead of Parmesan.
Really?
God.
That he returned to the store and slapped her in the face. She said he threw his pizza on the counter, told me he was going to beat everyone's butt in the store. I got my coworker to call the police because he was threatening everyone.
Got mental issues.
I was getting ready to refund his money, and next thing you know, I turned back towards him. He legit stepped into it, brought his hand back as far as he could, and slapped the crap out of me. Seconds later on the 911 call, you could hear Beckwith screaming in pain. Beckwith says customers and coworkers helped her off the ground and got her ice for her cheek. One of the customers got the license plate of the car, and they managed to get him. He was charged with assault and battery and sentenced to 20 days behind bars. Now, another guy doing something stupid. A man was arrested after he allegedly stabbed somebody over an argument about Subway seat etiquette.
Are they going to say Subway sandwiches?
And then allegedly stabbed a second Good Samaritan who tried to stop him from running away. Police say the incident happened 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday aboard a southbound A train in Manhattan. When victim Steve Williams asked suspect Ronald Cundiff to remove his bag from his seat so he could sit down. When Cundiff refused, they ended up in a struggle, and Cundiff allegedly pulled out a knife and stabbed Williams in the abdomen.
I think I'm going to need to stab you.
Cundiff then got off the train at the next station and fled on foot with Williams chasing him.
Police I'm on my way to Little Caesars.
Joined in the chase, and a Good Samaritan, Nicholas Kai, saw this happening, attempted to stop Cundiff. Cundiff then allegedly stabbed Kai before finally being stopped and tasered by cops. Yeah,
I'm going to describe this guy as antisocial.
So Williams told the news that he has diabetes and he recently had surgery on his foot, so he wanted a seat on the train. Cundiff was taking up 3 seats, one for himself, one for his backpack, and one for a grocery bag.
Well, that is kind of obnoxious.
He said two or three
leave your bags on a seat.
Two or three people had come onto the train and asked him for a seat, but he refused. I asked him, but he didn't answer, so I said I would hold his bag until I got off at my stop. I lifted his bag, and then he grabbed me around the throat.
You bag grabber.
I grabbed him back by his shirt, and then he pulled his knife and stabbed at me four times. He hit me once in the side.
Jesus.
I backed away, and somebody said, "You're bleeding." Kai said he was trying to hold Cundiff when he was stabbed in the left shoulder. Police said that Cundiff has been charged with two counts of assault in the case.
A lunatic. So yeah. Who's the bigger lunatic? The pizza guy is pretty...
I don't know, but pulling out a knife. That's another level. So,
yeah.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File Podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.